Okay, good evening, Shalom Aleichem, everyone. Welcome back. Tonight is the beginning of the third day of Elul, first Tuesday night of this month. I'd like to begin a few weeks on the topic of the halachas of Borer. And the halachas of Borer are nogea, they're pertinent both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. We'll see, Bez Hashem, that Borer is one of the melachos which is permissible on Yom Tov, but within certain guidelines. It's not like certain melachos that are basically permissible across the board as long as you're doing it for Tzarech Hayom, like carrying and cooking. For the most part, there are a couple of restrictions, but for the most part, cooking is cooking. If you're cooking for Yom Tov for that day, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. But Borer, It's not mutter across the board, but it is more lenient. The restrictions are much looser than on Shabbos. So Hashem, we'll get to that. But first, there's a lot to discuss within the malach itself on Shabbos. What exactly is the malach of Borer on Shabbos? What's mutter and what's us? And we need really to discuss that first before we can draw the contrast as Bez Hashem to Yom Tov. The Mishnah Berurah, this is the halachas of Borer on Shulchan Aruch, Arachaim Simon Shin Yotes. The Mishnah Berurah begins with a small hakdamah saying, "In a Borer who echad milames tes avos malachas Shabbos." Borer is one of the 39 malachas. The Chayavin Olel Gamkin Chatas Mishogeg Umisa Demezit Kamo Al Shar Malachas. One who violates the halachas of Borer on Shabbos, if he did it Mishogeg, he'd have to bring in the time of the Beis Hamikdash standing. He'd have to bring a carbon chatas. And if he did it b'mezid, and if he was warned by two eidim, Rechman's son is a chiyav misa, like other melachas. I mean, Lachar is pointing out because, but what is borer? Borer is selecting or separating, moving one item away from other items. That can be very as simple as that. You did something which seems to be relatively minor, simple, doesn't necessarily seem to have created anything particular. It's not like you took a piece of raw meat and you cooked it and now it's cooked and edible and tasty. You simply had a mixture of things and you separated something. Now that instead of being all here, so most of them are here and one's there. Afal pikein, for that seemingly simple act, one could mamish be chayiv misa, or at least if he did a b'shogi chayiv a karban chatas, just like in any one of the 30 amalachas. And borer has what's one of the properties and one of the concepts within Borer is that it is something which we come across frequently in the course of a Shabbos, especially when we're dealing with food and preparation of food. Although the Malach of Borer is not limited to food, or applies by clothing, or applied by sarim or books, or by toys, by all types of things, the laws apply. And we indeed encounter situations where there's a potential issur borer, where you have to know the halachas exactly what you can and cannot do in many circumstances in Shabbos, but particularly with food. And there are many cases that you have to, like this, you have to figure out on the spot, is what I want to do borer, and if it is, what could I do to avoid it, or is there something I could do or not? And as we'll so hopefully we'll illustrate some of those cases today. So it's very important to know, to be very familiar with the laws of Borer, with the rules. It's not one of the malachas that you could say, well, it hardly ever comes up in our society, in our lifestyle. Some of the malachas have to do with making garments, etc. Maybe some of the agricultural malachas, very, very few, or much fewer situations where there's no gala mice. Borer is packed every Shabbos. You encounter the situation of Borer, without a doubt. And sometimes some of it you don't even realize because the basic levels you do, you're not even giving any thought to it. But you did something which the next person who is not as educated as you might mamash be over Mr. Borer, possibly Mr. Deraisa. Okay, so let's try our best within the couple of weeks that we have to, as Hashem, to get the rules and try to see hopefully many applications and with that be able to apply it where we need to. So the main principle of Borer is that Borer applies when you have, first of all, a taruvus. It has to start with that taruvus means a mixture. There has to be a mixture, and it has to be a mixture of more than one min, meaning more than one type of food, or more than one type of kalim or begadim or whatever it may be. If number one, what you have is not a mixture, meaning if you have items lying in front of you, maybe on this table, where you have a gemara here and one there and this item here, and it's arguably, this is not a taru, it's not a mixture. Everything is fairly large and occupying its own spot. They're not even touching, they're not strewn together. So arguably, there is no borer. If somebody wanted to take any one of these items, whether an item that he wants to use or an item he doesn't want to use, whatever he wants to do, he would not run into a shaila borer. A shaila borer would be if the items were, you know, one on top of each other, even if they're somewhat large, but still if they're mixed together in a pile, certainly as they get smaller, and the concept of taruvis becomes more relevant, and in more and more things are considered taruvis when you're dealing with small items, especially when you're dealing with items which are require some scrutiny to pick out, to find what you want, because the thing you want is rather small and it's mixed amongst other things, then you are more likely, it is more likely that the situation in front of you is called a taruvis. So number one, borer only starts if you have a taruvis. And as I said, it has to be a taruvis of two or more minim, two or more types. What I mean is that if you have things which are either identical, let's say mamish identical, you have, let's take yogurts. You want a yogurt in Shabbos and you have 20 yogurts. They're all the same flavor. They're all the same date, expiration date, and everything about them is the same. You bought 20 of them and they're all mixed together and you want one and you take one from the others to eat, no problem. Or even if no matter what you do, whether you take it to eat, whether you take it to put it away for later, which we'll see is a big problem by Borer, but here it's not. If you take it, I want to make sure that there'll be a yogurt left for me shalosh this time, because I know, you know, a lot of people in the house, and so I go over and take one of the yogurts and I put it aside in the back fridge for myself. That's not, even though I'm not eating it now, and we'll see soon, but Hashem, that when you borer something, not for immediate use, that's a violation of borer. But this is not borer, because the all you have are yogurts, and they were all the same. Whereas if the yogurts were different, significantly, let's say they were different flavors. Some are strawberry, some are blueberry, some are coffee yogurt. And they're all strewn together. That already is a taruvis, because the flavor of a yogurt is very significant, and people very often will select the yogurt based on its flavor. Somebody who likes the blueberry might not like the coffee, or vice versa. So that already makes them into two minim, even though they're all yogurts, but that makes them into two minim, two separate things. And now when they're strewn together, they're mixed together without a seder. So now to take one out right away, you have to make sure you are running into a question of borer. And there are ways that you could do it and ways that you can't do it, but you have a situation of borer in front of you. Now, I just want to give another example. Let's say within the yogurts, let's say they have expiration dates. And so some of them are dated, today was August 10th, I think. And so some of them are dated August 15th, and some of them are dated August 20th. So they're all fine, they're all fresh, hopefully. I mean, based on how soon as they were refrigerated properly. Based on the date, they're all fine. So again, if you say, you know what, I want one with the 20th, I'm that extra, you know, extra cautious type. So I want one date of the 20th. I want the latest date I can find, even though I'm eating it today. But you would take the 15th. That's also not borer. Assuming they're all the same flavor, then it's not borer to pick out one that's dated on the 20th or over the 15th. But let's say some are dated the 20th and some are dated August 1st or some date which is questionable. Maybe not for sure spoiled, but probably not as fresh, not as good. It's not something you would want to eat. If it was only dated the first, you probably wouldn't have it at all. Then already, again, you have a taruvis. You have a mixture of yogurts which are fine and suitable for eating, and those which are not suitable, or even if they're suitable for eating, but only they had chak, you eat it, it's okay. But you know, it's another day or two, it's gone. But now it's just about okay. That type of thing, which you could eat it ayde chak. Or they talk more about fruits or vegetables, which are beginning to shrivel and wither a little bit, but it's still edible, not geschmack, not really what you want. So if you have those mixed among those types of tomatoes, mixed amongst the fresh, juicy tomatoes, that's called a taruvis already, and separating one from the other would be run into shalat borer. Okay, so that's what I mean. It has to be a mixture of different types. And certainly if it's tomatoes mixed with peppers, or you know, tomatoes mixed with carrots all put together, nuts, you know, peas and carrots, or nuts and raisins. That's, of course, that's mamish two minim, and selecting one from the other, you're running into questions of bar. Okay, so number one has to be terus. Number two, one, whenever one eats, or often when one eats, they are selecting. For example, let's take this case. You have a bowl in front of you of nuts and raisins, and you like nuts. You're not interested in raisins. So you go and you pick nuts and you eat them. You're eating, that's 100% mutter. You pick a nut, you're avoiding the raisins. You're just selecting the nuts, but that you're selecting, you're being bored, but that's fine. What's not fine is if you were to take out the raisins. I don't want raisins with my peanuts, so I'm going to take the raisins and put them off to the side until I've got, a nice bowl of peanuts, or even if I don't get to the end, but I just take out raisins from this mixture. That is a malacha gemura. The difference is that the first way is called derech achila. That's eating. When a person eats, he takes what he wants and he eats it. And normally, typically with his hand or with a spoon or a fork, something that's considered an extension of the hand, he doesn't usually use a keli, like a food preparation keli to eat with. And you don't eat by taking what you don't want, typically. Typically, you eat by taking what you do want. And you don't eat by taking something for later. That's not called eating. That's called storing for later. So eating means you take what you want from what you don't want, you use your hand or something that's a mere extension of the hand, and you do it for immediate consumption. So when you meet those three criteria, it's not barer, and you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to take, that's where it comes, the idea from the good from the bad, and the bad just means what I don't want now. So the food that I want now from the food I don't want now, I'm doing it with my hand or with an extension of the hand, which is not a barer tool, it's just simply an eating tool like a fork or spoon. And I'm doing it for me to use. If I miss any one of those conditions, if I take the bad from the good, even so that I can eat the good now, that's this. That's not called eating anymore. That's called doing malacha. That's not derech achila. That's derech malacha. Because you didn't take, when you eat, you take what you want. You don't take what you don't want and move it away. You take what you do want, typically. So taking what you don't want and moving it away is malacha. Or even taking what you do want, but not eating it right away. Putting it aside for later. And I hope to spend some time tonight defining later in this context. But putting it aside for later, that's a malacha. That's not eating. Eating, you don't eat by taking your food and putting it away and then coming back to it. You eat by eating, taking and eating it. So if you put it aside for later, that's bora, that's a malacha. And number three, if you use a tool, rather than using your hand or a spoon or a fork, you use some sort of tool that's designed to separate two things, designed for bora purposes, or even if it's not a mamish miyuchat of bora, but it's not an eating tool. It's a tool which is more suited for selecting than for eating. And that's not called eating. That's called malacha. And you'd be over the malacha. Sometimes chayiv deraisa. Sometimes also be the rabbanim. But you'd be over isur bora. So to be mutter, you have to take what you want from what you don't want. You have to do it for immediate use, and you have to use your hand or an extension. One major exception, which is mentioned now, where you could take the bad from the good, you could take what you don't want away, and it's still mutter, as long as it's for immediate use and using your hand, is when something that's called a klipa, a peel or a shell. If you have you want to eat a hard-boiled egg, so the way to eat hard-boiled egg has a shell around it. The normal way to eat is to peel it, to break off the shell and discard it. So to do that is not a malacha. You're taking the bad from the good, but that's the way you eat. That's called eating. So as long as you do it for immediate. If you're peeling eggs to eat them later, that's a malacha, because what you did is not for immediate use. So that's called, the term is bora la'otzer. It's like you're selecting to store it away for a different time. So peeling an egg to eat later is no good. But if you peel egg to eat it immediately, that's mutter, because taking off a peel is the way to eat food. When you have a banana, you could theoretically slice a banana in half and scoop out the fruit from the peel, but that's not the normal way of eating. The normal way of eating is to peel off the peel and discard it. And the male doing so is not called borer. So as long as you meet the other conditions, you do it with your hand for immediate use, it's perfectly worth it. Okay, so as I said, the main topic I'm going to focus on tonight is going to be the definition of immediate use. The answer to the question is yes. If you're giving it to the child for the child to eat it right now, then yes. If you're preparing for your child's meal for later, then no. But if your child is eating now, whether it's your child or anybody, it could be another adult, it could be a guest, it could be a family member, then as long as you're doing it for them right now, that is mutter. So while you brought this up, let me say a point which is a machlokas poskim. is, let's say you're doing it to somebody. Somebody comes to us and says, do you have whatever it is I could borrow? And he says, sure, I have. But in my house, it's mixed amongst other things. And in order to get it, to give it to this person, I have to select it. Right? I have to pick it out from other things. And so if they're going to use it right now, they're taking it, they're going home and using it right now. Of course, that's 100% with it. But let's say they're not. They're not using it now. But they just came by now to borrow it. They're on the way home from shul. And they say, oh, can I borrow this? They're not going to need it till the afternoon. They're having company later in the afternoon. And they want to borrow whatever it may be. And if I'd have to be borrowed to give it to them. So that's the machlokas poskim. What's the shaila? Shaila is, do we say that by being borrowed to give it to the person, that's, I'm using it now. Using doesn't have to be eating, right? Because borrowing, we said, it applies to kalim, to toys, to begadim, to svarim. So if I'm borrowed to use it now, so of course that is mutter. So Rosh Hashanah Zahar-Arbach is quoted as saying, that I'm using it now by doing the mitzvah of lending it to this person. That's, my job is finished. What they're doing with it, that's not my concern. Certainly, at least if I don't know. It could be Rosh Hashanah's mode that I think you might say that if you know for sure they're using it later, it's not good. But if you don't know, you could be borrowed and give it to them now. Whereas Rabbi Yasha is quoted in the Shvus Yitzchak saying no, that's not called the usage. The usage is is what he's doing with it when he uses the keli. So you can't be borrowed for him to give it to now, unless he's going to take it and use it immediately. Okay, so those are the three rules you have to meet. When you have a taruvah, you have to meet the three rules that we said, and then the mutter to do. So now let's talk about some very, very common cases. And I want to focus primarily tonight on this condition of called la'alter. La'alter means for immediate use. What is called for immediate use, and what is not. So one of the most common a situation of borer is when preparing for a meal, when amongst other things, very often you have to set the table and the silverware might be all mixed together. If it's not, if the silverware is neatly arranged, you have a silverware tray and it's neatly arranged, a pile of forks, a pile of spoons, a pile of knives, then it's no problem. You could take whatever you want and select it and put it out to the table, on the table, even if you're not going to use it till much later, because it's not a taruvus. That's not a mixture. When things are neatly arranged in that fashion, the way they're designed to be when they're put away, then it's not a mixture. So if it's not a mixture, you don't get started with borer. But if they're strewn together, let's say you use them Friday night and you wash them in a permissible manner, and then now they're just all strewn together in a big bucket. Forks, knives, spoons, all mixed together. So now to pick out, if you're going to set the table, you can pick out a fork. Okay, I need a fork here. I need a spoon, I need a knife. That is called borer. And you could only do that for immediate use. And we'll get back to this in a second. Or if you are preparing a salad for the meal and you have to peel vegetables, you can only do that for immediate use. We said you're allowed to take off peels, but it has to be for immediate use. Or you may have other situations of mixtures where you have to prepare, where we have to select. So immediate use is defined as when you're preparing for the meal, which you're going to start as soon as the preparations are done. This is the way that the post can say it. As long as when you finish preparing, you're ready to go. There's nothing in between. As opposed to, let's say you want to prepare for the meal, but you want to, you know, let's say your wife is preparing for the Suda, and she wants to be able to rest a little. She wants to get it finished preparing and sit down and relax for a few minutes, you know, sit down on the couch and relax and to read something, or maybe she didn't finish davening and she wants to get all the preparations done and then she daven, or she wants to go feed the baby, or maybe she wants to go out and take a walk to shul and pick you up. So to be borer for that meal would be usher at that point. It's not mutter to do borer and in order to prepare for the meal, which is not going to start when the preparations are done. There's going to be a break. There's going to be a walk to shul. There's going to be just relaxing on the couch or feeding the baby, anything, or even just passage of time. If you know for sure that you have only 20 minutes worth of work to do to prepare for the meal, then you can't start 30 minutes earlier or 25 minutes earlier knowing that I'm going to have a 5-minute break. It has to be that you're preparing and you're aiming to be able to start the meal when all the preparations are done. So which would mean, first of all, she has to know what time to expect her husband, assuming the meal is going to start when he comes home. if then she has to know what that is, when to expect him, when is shul over, when is he coming home? Is he going to a kiddush Shabbos and he'll be home 20 minutes later than normal? Or if they're having guests, so if they told the guests to come at 12 o'clock and normally her husband gets home at 11:30 and they would start at 11:30, 11:45, but they told the guests, no, well, 12 o'clock is the starting time of the Shabbos. So then you can't prepare the Suda and be ready, you know, ready for 11:45 and then there's downtime. You can only prepare with enough time to start right away. Provided there's borer. If preparing for the meal doesn't involve borer, like I said, if all your silverware is stacked up neatly and you're not doing it, yeah, then you could do that. You could set the table and be finished before or do other forms of preparation if it doesn't involve borer. But if it involves borer, that's where you have, that's where it applies. I'm telling you that it has to be only for immediate use. But it has to be for the meal that's going to start then. But if you, once you're doing that, even parts of the meal that, or parts of the borer you're doing, they're only going to be utilized towards the end of the meal is mutter. In other words, you're setting, again, you have all the silverware mixed together and you want to put out a spoon, a dessert spoon. It's not going to be used till dessert. This meal is going to take 2 hours, 3 hours. Maybe it's a Sheva Bracha Suda, who knows? But I could still pick out the dessert spoon as long as, as I said, I'm preparing at a time that I'm allowed to, because the meal's going to start as soon as I'm done with the preparations. I'm even allowed to pick out the dessert spoon, which is not going to be used for another 2-3 hours, but part of this meal. As opposed to, if we're going to have the meal, and then we're going to bench, then we're going to go to another room and have a dessert or over there or something, leaving out, assuming, you know, leaving out any bracha shilas or whatever, but you're going to do something after the meal's over, that you can't prepare for now. That's not called the media. This is the Sefer Shvus Yitzchak brings this from Rabbi Yashiv. If once benching is considered a hefsek already, and you can't prepare for anything, even if it's going to be immediately after benching. Or he brings, let's say, in Pesach night, when you have the Seder, before you get to the meal, you have the whole Seder, you can't do Borer at the beginning of the Seder to in order to prepare for the Suda, and then start the Seder, because the Suda is not considered, the Kriyas HaGadah is not considered part of the Suda. This is what Rabbi Yashiv says, even though it's all, according to the Shvus Yitzchak, even though it's all the Seder, but the Suda of the Seder and the Haggadah of the Seder, the Kriyas HaGadah, is not considered one thing. When you're beginning the Seder, it's not considered, it's the beginning of the meal. So you can't do bar then. He says you could do bar. Let's say you want to pick out some masses or marar to put on the Seder plate, which is going to be used, that you say the Haggadah in front of the Shasha Matzah Mar Menachem Lefanech. Yes, so that's called immediate use. The matzahs that you're going to use during the Seder, during the Haggadah, but the matzah and the mar and silverware and what you name it, that's only going to be used during the meal, that you can't do borer at the beginning. So what's the eight? So the eight is do it before Shabbos or, yeah. Oh, but now, by the way, yeah, this is, let's just assume for the moment that the Seder is Friday night. If it's not Friday night, if it's Yontif, so as I said, we'll see, the laws are going to be different and we'll discuss it. Could be the whole requirement of La'alter, this whole discussion, tonight's discussion, won't even be relevant when it comes to Yontif, as long as it's for that day. But let's say the Seder is a Friday night Seder, so then that's where these issues will come up. Now, further, he brings here also from Rabbi Yash, a lot of them saying it's from the Shvus Yitzchak, and almost every line of it he references that this is the Pesach of Rabbi Yashiv. So let's say you're starting a meal and you have company that's coming much later. They're not going to be there for the beginning of the meal. For a perfect case of Sheva Brachas. You're having Sheva Brachas and you need a minion for, you know, for the end of Sheva Brachas, but you didn't invite a whole minion to come for the whole meal. You invited a few people on the block. They're going to come for dessert. They're going to have their suit at home. And they're coming for dessert. So you're having a suda now for, let's say, whatever it is, 6-7 men and women, etc. And 3 or 4 people are going to come at the end. They're going to come for dessert, for bench, for dessert and benching. So you can't select, you can't do borer for them, because they're not, even though you're starting the meal, but the fact that I'm starting a meal, but they're not part of this meal. They're only part of dessert. I said before, I can prepare for the dessert of the meal for the people that are part of the meal now. But people that are not part of the meal are only coming for dessert. I can't prepare for their dessert at this point. Okay, so again, you have to, you know, make either bring provisions that see to it that the silverware is separate, or just wait, you know, wait till they're expected, till they expect to be coming, till they wait till they come, and then you set for them. Now, let's say you have guests, and or you're expecting guests, and you're preparing the meal. They're expecting at 12 o'clock. The meal's going to start at 12 o'clock, and you want to put out a plate of walnuts. So you're shelling the walnuts, right? You're allowed to do that in Shabbos. You're allowed to take the shell, like we said, it's a kleep. You're allowed to take the shell off the walnuts for mini juice. So you know that based on the number of guests, they're only going to eat whatever a certain amount of walnuts. But you don't want to put out just what they're going to eat, because first of all, then they might not want to eat it. They don't want to, you know, doesn't look like enough. You want to put out as the cover of the archim, and to make sure that they take enough, you want to put out b'yad rechava. You want to put out a generous amount. So that you're allowed to do. You're allowed to, as long as the meal is going to start right away, you're allowed to shell enough walnuts to fill the entire plate, that it should be a mechubetika, serving to the guests, and rather than looking betzimtzum, or rather than having people, hesitate or be not be anxious to take, that you are allowed to do. Now, there's a shayla about what about if you want to set the table now? The meal's not starting now, but you set the table and it looks nice, it looks beautiful. You want to set the table just to enjoy the geshmak of it. So I believe there are those that say that's mutter, that's goof immediate use. I saw the Shvashis Rabbins from Eliyashiv that's not mutter. The setting of the table is totally tuffel to the achila, even if you do get certain hana out of seeing it, you know, seeing what the table looks like when it's all set, but that's tuffel to the achila. You would never be doing it if you weren't going to be serving a meal. You wouldn't just be setting the table like that. So you're doing it's really cool doing it for the meal, and the meal has to be, according to Reliash, it has to be summoned to the meal. Okay, so now with these introductions in mind, let's see some of these other cases that are very pertinent. Some of them I mentioned already. Okay, so he says, let's say you want to put a towel out on the towel rack next to the sink where people are going to come and wash, and the towel is mixed amongst other begadim, other stuff. It's a mixture, and it's, you know, of different things. If it's a mixture of a bunch of towels and they're all good, they're all fine, they're all the same color, or the color is irrelevant. Now, because, you know, in something like towels, what's relevant, not every difference between one towel and another makes it two meaning. It has to be that it's something significant. So the color of the towel, okay, may or may not make a difference. And clothing color makes a difference. I don't know if the towels, but whatever it is. So let's say you have a case where the towel is definitely mixed amongst other towels, and you want to pick out a towel and border it and to hang it up on the side of the sink where it's not going to be used right now, or it may not be used. You have no idea if it's going to be used or not. So that you're not allowed to do, because that's not called borela alter. A fairly common case, or that, you know, happens often enough, is let's say happened to us this past Shabbos, and you're cleaning off plates after the meal or whatever it is, and a fork or something slips into the garbage, and it sinks in a little bit. So it's a tarufis. The fork is mixed amongst all sorts of garbage items. So says Rabbi Yashiv, that you have a shayla bar on your hands, because you have the fork mixed amongst all the garbage. Now, so to simply take it out, even that, let's assume you could avoid any muksa shaylas, assuming the particular garbage is a muksa, or you could get to it without handling the muksa, without being metalta muksa in an asidic way. But to pick the fork out and just simply, you know, put it into the sink, that's called bara, because it's not for immediate use. You want to save it immediately, but you're not using it immediately. So that is would be a situation of bara. Right. That would be a situation of bara. And what you would the answer there would be to take it out and use it. Take it out, rinse it off, and use it. Use the fork, even if you weren't planning on using it, but use it. They eat something, or you find a function for that fork, then you're allowed to do it. You borrow it to use it immediately. The good from the bad with your hand for immediate use. That would be the etzah how to do that. Now there's another situation which comes up frequently also, which is very which needs a machshava, and it's something that many people might not realize. And let's say you have something in the freezer, which you want for a meal, for a certain meal on Shabbos, but it's frozen, and assuming it's mixed amongst things in the freezer in a way that's a tarubis. Not always will things in the freezer be a tarubis. If they're very large and standing sort of separate, it's very possibly they won't be a tarubis. But let's say it is. You have maybe a challah roll, and it's mixed in the freezer amongst other bags of other stuff. Is one challah roll in a bag, and you can hardly tell what it is because it's a little flustered, and there's other breads and stuff there which are not suitable because they're not shleimim or whatever it is. It's not what you want, or it's mixed amongst cakes. It's a very fine taruvis, and you want this challah roll, but you want it. Now you're not going to take it out of the freezer and use it immediately. You need to take it out and let it thaw out, let it become become right. Or maybe something which freezes even more stark than the challah roll, and takes a while to thaw it out. So the question is, am I allowed to take it out now so that it will thaw out in time for the meal? Now, do we say that's not la'alter? It's not la'alter because you're not using it right away. Or do you say, well, no, a frozen thing, you can't bite into it right away. You need to give it time. So that's the use. You're taking it out, and just like you could prepare the beginning of the meal for the end of the meal, so maybe this is the beginning of the preparations. To prepare the challah roll, I have to thaw it out. So I'm not physically doing anything to it. Once I take it out of the freezer, I don't stand there and, do something. Let's say thawing it out involved me. I would go to thaw something out, you stand there and you keep patting it. So that would be more theory. Or one could say, arguably one could say that's more because. So the question is, so maybe that's la'alter. So I don't have to stand there and pat it. I just have to take it out and let it sit on the counter. But it has to do that for an hour in order to be suitable for the meal. So am I allowed to do that now, even though the meal is not starting for another hour, and I don't, there are no other preparations? Can I take it out now, or can I not? Or the other way around, let's say I want to heat something up, and it's in the refrigerator, and it's mixed amongst other things, and I want to heat it up in a way that's permissible on Shabbos, put it al gabi kedeira or whatever, in a way that I'm allowed to heat it up on Shabbos, but to take some time to heat it up. So am I allowed to take it out of the refrigerator now, or take it out from wherever it is? Maybe something doesn't need to be refrigerated. It's just sitting on the table, but it's mixed amongst other things. Can I take it out, boil it, and put it up to work? So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the way he's quoted in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa after a slight revision, says that it depends. By the case of the heating the thing up, if it's something which it's the derech to heat it up right before you eat, I mean, it's the derech to do that. It's not something that you could keep hot all the time. You have to heat it up. You have to put it on the, on top of the kedera an hour before and until it gets properly warm, and then you use it. If you put it there, you can't put it there, forever. It'll burn, or it will, maybe it'll spoil even if it's not, it's not getting that hot on Shabbos. So it's the derech to do it in this manner. It's the derech to warm it up only an hour before. So he says, that's what to do, because then it's considered la'alter. But even though you're selecting it now and you're not eating it, you're not using it immediately, but you're involved in the preparations. And since it's the derech to do that, it's the derech to leave it wherever it is and only warm it up an hour before, then you're allowed to do that. Whereas if it's something which could have, let's say the opposite case, when you're thawing something out, which it could have been thawed out before, it doesn't have to be done just before the meal. You can have people bake challahs and they, buy challahs in the bakery, and they buy them on Friday and they stay there. They don't freeze them at home. They stay for the challah shudas, and more than a day. People, you might even buy them on Thursday and they stay a few days. They don't have to be frozen and then thawed out just before the meal, so that even though lemaisa circumstantially it happens to be frozen now, so now it takes a couple of hours to thaw it out, so that you're not allowed to do if it involves bar. Of course, if it's not barer, just thawing it out is fine. Thawing it out is not a malacha. Letting it sit on the sit on the counter at room temperature, but being barer it to facilitate its thawing out, that is a malacha. So that malacha is only mutal la'alter. So he says it's only called la'alter if it's something that it's the derech. It needs to be done just before the meal. You need the hour or two before the meal to heat it up, which is the case. Often that's the case by warming things up. You can't just warm it up, you know, before you warm it up, right before the meal, right when it's ready to be used. That is the normal derech. That is like the tzorich of this meichel. So that is as what to do. But when it's not a tzorich of the meichel, the meichel could have been thrown out hours, you know, it didn't have to be frozen altogether. It just happened to be frozen. So then to be borer in order to throw it out, he wants to say that's not called the altar, and you have to be careful to do it before Shabbos. That's where Shlomo Zalman says. The Shvus Yitzchak brings, however, the Rabbi Yashu was making on this. Shvus Yitzchak on page Reish Tezvav in the Sefer and Borer says, well, at least it's mitzadeh. Rabbi Yashu is mitzadeh, meaning he was leaning to say that such a thing should be mutter. Even the case of throwing it out would be mutter. I saw in the Sefer Orcha Shabbos, he quotes Rabbi Yashu was machmer on this. So, okay, as you know, we know that you can't be something 100% on what you see quoted from Gedolim. Although I will say that B'derech Chal, I think I might have mentioned this before, I've heard from more than one source that the Shvus Yitzchak is considered a very reliable source of Rabbi Yashu's Horaos. In any case, so that's, I think, a very interesting halacha, which I said requires some thought, and I think it's the type of thing that not everybody realizes. Now let's talk about like by svarim. Let's say you come into shul Shabbos morning, and you want a chumash and a siddur for the davening, and let's say you want a chumash, you want a siddur, and then after davening you can use a gemara. So assuming it involves borer, now it doesn't always. Well, hopefully we'll talk about that in an upcoming week. What situation of svarim, let's svarim on the shelf, to take a sefer off the shelf, is that borer altogether? Maybe it's not. Maybe you could be borrowed even for later in the day because it's not when it's lined up on the shelf, or perhaps not. Maybe it'll depend on certain things. But let's take a situation where, granted that the sitter is in a situation of tarubis, the sitter, the chumash, the gemara, they're all in a mixture type situation. So the question is, could you take everything now and go to your seat? So let's say, let's get another case. Let's say I want to come into the Beis Medrash Shabbos afternoon, and I want to learn, first I want to learn the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, I want to learn for 10 to 15 minutes, and then I'm going to learn the Gemara, and then before Mincha, you know, a few minutes of Musar. So I'm going to learn Chafetz Chaim, the Gemara, the Musar. So says Shvus Yitzchak Rabbi Yashiv, you can't be borer all the Svarim. It's not like a meal. A meal is a set thing. A meal has gevulim to it, has, you know, beginning of a meal, washing, kiddush, as the end of the meal, benchy. So meal is a unit. So you can prepare for the entire meal at the beginning of the meal. But a learning session, he says, is not a unit. And if you want to learn Chafetz Chaim now, very good. So you can take the Sefer Chafetz Chaim out of a mixture and learn from it. But you can't take the Gemara that you're going to use after Chafetz Chaim, or you can't take the Musar Sefer that you're going to use afterwards. You can't take them out of a taruba situation. If they're in a mixture, you can't take them out now to use later, only to use it now. In the case where the person is coming to shul to the Abba Shabbos morning, there he says you could take both a sitter and a chumash to use, even if they're both mixed in a tarubis, because that's considered, the davening is considered a unit, and the Kriya Sitar is part of the davening. So even though the Kriya Sitar you're not going to get to until after Shacharis, but it's all part of one unit. Whereas a Gemara, you want to use Gemara when davening's over. When davening's over, you want to use a Gemara, that not. Because that's already finished. The davening is a unit, and then learning after davening is not part of that unit. So you could take a gemara and a sitter, a chumash and a sitter with you, but you can't take the gemara that you're going to use afterwards. So I want to know, let me ask you, what about if you're going to use the gemara during the davening, meaning not the middle of davening mamish, of course you wouldn't do that, but the kriya satorah, ben gabra la gabra, when they're making mishaberich, so you can look into a gemara. You're not going to talk to anybody else, but you're going to look into the Gemara, and maybe you'll say the words quietly to yourself. They only being Gavra LeGavra. So could you take the Gemara now? Or let's say before Chazaras HaShas, you finish Shemana Esrei, you tend to finish Shemana Esrei before the Chazan starts the repetition. So you want to take, or Yom Ha'Ram, right? Yom Ha'Ram, and let's say, even for certainly if it comes out on Shabbos, or perhaps even if it's not on Shabbos, we'll see if it'll make a difference. Pashas, even if it's not on Shabbos, by Svarim, it'll still be the same issue. You want to take a sefer with you. You want to take a machzor off the shelf, and you want to take a sefer that you're going to use it points to the davening when you're allowed to look into a sefer, such as if you're waiting for the Baal Tefillah to start Chazaras HaShatz and you tend to finish a few minutes earlier and you want to have a sefer. Or maybe there are other points in davening when you're allowed to look into a sefer. So that lechor will be mutter as well, because it's part. There's nothing that's mafsik davka. I would say like this. If for sure you're not going to use it till after shacharis, let's say again, you're not going to use it till after shacharis, then perhaps not, because again, Kriyas HaTorah is part of the davening. It's part of one unit. The learning might not be part of the unit. So if you might use the Gemara any moment or any particular time during the davening, there's no set time, meaning you might even have time before they start. You'll say brachos and karbanos, and you might have a few minutes to learn them. So Mistama, that would be okay, because the Gemara is part of what you're doing this morning. You're sort of davening and learning together, again, in a way that's permissible. But that might be the case. What I wanted to say was, okay, slip away now. Okay, but it certainly, as I said, if you only want it for afterwards, that would be a problem. Let's talk about one or two more cases. Just quickly, a case of it. Let's just take one more case. A case of a game. Children or adults are going to play a game that's mutter to play on Shabbos, and the pieces are all mixed up. Maybe because the last person played with it on Shabbos, and he didn't separate them because they weren't going to be used anymore. He wants to separate the pieces now to use them, even though the pieces are different meaning because they're mixed together. So to separate them in order to play the game right now, that you could do. You're using them all right now for this game. Whereas when you finish the game, to taka separate them back and put them into places so you can put it away neatly, that you can't do. Besides, forget about Hachana. Even if someone's going to use the game later today, but to separate them for use later in the day would not be allowed to do, because that's against the Borer for non-immediate use. Okay, so that covers a lot of the concept of La'alter. Hope that clarifies a little bit, and as a Shema, we'll move on next time to some more of the concepts.